Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello? Limits? Bob? Anybody home?
Joe? Good morning, Joe.
I have a feeling Limits is trying to sabotage my role on this show, Bob.
How so?
He's a very ambitious young man.
Although he is ambitious.
We are going to the Duquesne women's basketball game tonight, myself and Limits. Did you know that, Bob?
No. Are you watching? Are you going to somehow figure a way to get a halftime show or do something?
I think we're going to be there for the pregame speech. We're going to be sitting right down on the court, as far as I know.
This is going to be awesome. I haven't been given that many details, but I know Joe has a couple of tricks and surprises up his sleeve from what I've been told.
It's increnculent, Bob. Did you see where the Pitt women's team came back from like 32 points the other day?
28-0 run. It was unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen a third quarter of any sort like that. Where that team, SMU, I think, had a big lead, and they shot bricks the whole third quarter. 0 points, or I think it was, for the...
32 points, or 31. Now I can't remember.
I think it's 32, and they won by 13.
Yeah. How does that happen?
It's
a miracle.
Misses a lot of shots.
Speaking of women's basketball, I opened up my day with an absolute tearjerker, Limits and Bob. How are you both, by the way? Good? Are you okay, Limits?
I'm doing pretty well.
You look great.
Thank you. You do as well.
His hair looks good, doesn't it, Bob?
Yeah.
Not as much today as it has in previous days.
It normally is, but it's fine.
It's a little understated today.
Yeah.
I see the look you're going for.
You know, sometimes it just needs a day where it can't be as professional as it likes to look.
Bob, you have a wonderful hat on. What is that? Cleveland?
Cleveland Golf.
What does that mean? Is that a brand?
The Strixon company pretty much controls a lot of what goes on, and by different companies. Cleveland they have wedges, some of the best wedges in the game.
Huh.
And so they make wedges. You don't
have
know
you
this?
Been watching the simulated golf thing with Tiger
and
all that?
Little
Do you
bit.
Like it?
I didn't see a lot last night, although I saw Tiger hit one in the water, the fake water.
I wish the fake water was there for me too, instead of the real water all the time.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting, and I don't know how long it's going to command people's attention, but I think it's pretty interesting, especially this time of the year.
Well, the tearjerker was this. You know, you open up your phone in the morning. It's what we all do because we're all phone addicts, correct? It's like getting up and smoking a cigarette before you even say hello to anybody or start your day. You know what I mean? We're all phone addicts. Do you guys, how soon after you wake up do you open your phone? That's the opening question today. Be honest about it. I'm within 5 minutes, sadly. Limits?
Within 5 minutes, because usually I wake up with my alarm going off. It's about half the time I wake up before, half the time the alarm goes off. And if the alarm goes off, you have to turn it off. And then I typically look at my phone right after.
So before you even take your morning pee, you're checking your phone.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I'm not judging you for that. What do you check first?
Notifications that I have that'll pop up on the homepage.
Bob, be honest. How soon after you wake up?
And I'll tell you why, Joe. My phone is off the entire night.
Yeah.
I've done that for health reasons. I really have.
You need your sleep.
Just that, and I don't want to be, there are a lot of things that go on as you get older, and you just got to, those take priority. So I've never used to do that. Now I do it. I shut it off. When I get up, I first make coffee. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I sit around, talk to my wife a little bit.
Mm.
And within 15 minutes, though, I do turn it on, and mostly to say hello to my kids and people that, you know, in the family. That's, and then it progresses from there. The nice thing about being in here is I don't have to use that thing. And it could just be, although this computer currently doesn't work, Austin. So I'm kind of, maybe
I'll reset it in the back.
The mic didn't work for me, and the computer doesn't work for you. That's what I'm talking about here, Bob. But what I came across was the same thing as Limits, my notifications. And I saw the story from TCU, women's basketball, 10th ranked in the country right now. Very good team. Last year, they had a team where a bunch of kids, I don't know, they got hurt, sick, quit. Something happened where they literally needed walk-ons, women from the general population there at school to join their team just to field a team. So four of them did, and they're the TCU Horned Frogs, right? So they called these four women the Under Frogs because they joined the team and helped them. One of them stayed with the team this year, Bob. One of them hung on and stayed. Her name is Ella Hamlin, and last night was the one-year anniversary of her joining the team last year. So they go to the locker room last night. They beat the same team they beat last year in her first game. And the coach, Mark Campbell, is saying how much that means to him that her and these other women saved their team last year. And then as the exclamation point on his little speech, he said, and by the way, you are now on full scholarship.
Oh, I love those videos. Oh, that's awesome.
Bob, the locker room erupted. Everybody runs over to her. They lifted her up. She's crying. Come on. You start the day like that. She's going there for nursing, which is $82,000 a year at TCU, and now she's on full scholarship. It was a great way to start the day. I immediately sent it to my wife and daughter.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. I love when I see those videos. Those are equally as impressive and emotional as when the military guy or woman comes home, surprises the family. Those are also very good. So, yeah, that's great to see, and it goes to show you about hard work. If you're willing to just do it, work hard, don't say much, do your thing, good things can happen to you.
Well, that brings us to George Pickens, which is
it's a layup.
I was going to start the show anyway. Yes, I'm going to be trying in the days ahead to stay away from the Steelers as long as possible at the beginning of the show, but they're the story. And actually, I'm not going to start with Pickens. I'm going to start with the quarterback situation. And here's my question. I think Albert Breer had a report to the effect of, you know, they're very interested in keeping Fields. We know this. We had the Mike Tomlin quote from yesterday where he was rather effusive on what if it came to Justin Fields. It's very similar to last year, Bob.
Yeah, when he said the answer's in the room.
Where it's two guys living up to the old adage, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Are they going to give one of those guys a chance? Will both be back or will neither be back? So I want some very simple answers to start with you guys. One word, okay? And then we'll dive into a conversation. I have this very structured, and I want you both to follow the rules, unlike Mike DeFabo yesterday, who was unable to make it through a game of free association without elaborating on everything.
Does he get somewhat of a pass because it was his first free association?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he was fired up, though, because he had a story out there that resonated. So I'm sure he was
pumped
up. It's a
good point, yeah. I don't blame Mike for that. I just want you guys to follow the rules.
We'll do.
Okay. Is there a better chance that both will be back, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields? One of them will be back or none of them will be back. Neither of them, I should say. If you had to bet on one of those three scenarios, everything you own, which one would you bet on?
Well, first of all, you shouldn't say that, everything you own.
Bob, it's a hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical, Bob.
One
of them will be back.
One of them will be back.
One of them will be back.
You said one word. You just said one of them will be back.
Next, is that one going to be Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
Fields.
Justin Fields.
That's two words.
It's one name.
Fields. I agree. I'm glad that we've established that. Now, if you had to choose between Fields or some other person being the starter next season, whether it's a free agent, someone who comes along in a trade, or even a draft pick, would you bet on Fields or another person being the Steelers starter next
Fields.
Season?
Fields.
Fields. I think we're all in the same spot here. One more question. If it were up to you, would you be settled on Fields or would you be moving mountains to try and find somebody better? Bob, settled or mountains?
Mountains.
Mountains, question mark.
Mountains. Having said that, as I said, when you look at the free agent class, it's a disaster. Limits, could you call up the free agent class, please? I believe it's headlined by Kirk Cousins and Aaron. I don't think Aaron Rodgers you'd have to trade for. Maybe Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but
I guess Sam Darnold, by hook or by crook, is the most attractive name out there. And he's not. I don't want Sam Darnold. I'd rather have Justin Fields. You?
Yes, and that's nothing. I think Sam Darnold had a heck of a season. But I also think that in a system that's not as quarterback friendly as Kevin O'Connell, although I thought he got outcoached the other night, I thought that that could prop up any young quarterback. And his scheming of, and of course he has two outstanding wide receivers, he has all the things necessary for a quarterback to succeed. Having said that, if it's not in that sort of a system, then I have a concern about Sam Darnold because I've seen him in four other places, I think. So, yeah, now I'm going to pass on Sam Darnold.
Me too. Give us some other names, O Limitless Wonder, and we'll say, you know, interested or no thank you.
Could I interest you in a midseason cut, Daniel Jones?
Not interested.
Given what's out there?
Not interested.
I have mild interest.
Really?
I have mild interest in Daniel Jones. I do. I'm not sure that Justin Fields is better than Daniel Jones.
He'll be the backup to J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota.
Next.
Mac Jones.
Pass.
Pass.
Jameis Winston.
Pass.
Marcus Mariota. Pass. Andy Dalton.
Hold on. Pass. Hold on with Mariota.
Pass.
We're talking about these guys in terms of
starting or competing with Fields.
Competing with Fields. I mean, they're going to need another guy in here.
That's a different conversation. I thought you were talking from a starting point of view. Who would you rather
have? If you're competing with Fields, you have a chance to start. But I hear what you're saying. This guy is a starter. Of course not. Marcus Mariota. No. God, no.
Andy?
No. No.
Jacoby
no.
Brissett.
No. Although I like him as a
backup.
Backup, yeah, or a competitor.
What about
competitor?
This guy.
Competition. Is he out there?
It's the
Rudolph train.
There was Rudolph.
Oh, there was a little twist there.
Oh yeah.
No.
What about bringing back Mason? No, thank you.
I mean, he's going to want to start, and I just think that
where's he going to get any team to tell him he's starting?
I don't know. I know he wants to start.
Well, good for him. So do I. It doesn't mean I'll get a job.
Right. May I interject something here,
please,
before you go on?
Yes.
This whole problem has, to me, the roots of it go all the way back to Ben still playing here. Any organization that knows your Hall of Fame quarterback is coming to an end has to have a succession plan. They have to have something in place that, work or not, is at least a plan. I don't think the Steelers really had much of a plan moving forward. They drafted Mason Rudolph, yes. Maybe that was their plan. But they had other opportunities to do other things, I think, knowing that this end date was going to come. Since they really didn't, and I'll use the example of Jalen Hurts was available in the second round. The only reason I bring that up is they chose Chase Claypool in that same draft ahead of him. If you really felt that you needed to begin a plan – And I could have said this with any number of people, I guess, who came along. I just didn't see much of a plan.
Yeah.
And so what happens when you don't have much of a plan is you start chasing. And what happened immediately? Well, they brought in Mitch Trubisky. They drafted Kenny Pickett. Then they had three quarterbacks. Then they had no quarterbacks. Then they had three more quarterbacks. And they're good chance they're going to have maybe just one, maybe none. Again, you cycle and keep going. And it gets really difficult to find, especially where they draft. So part of my explanation for Justin Fields is I want to either find out or sink to a point where I can get a good guy. And so I'm gonna invest in him, and I'm hopeful that he could reach a different ceiling. I think he can under the right leadership, you know, and offensive game plan and that sort of thing. Plus, it's cheaper.
Is there the right leadership offensively in place to develop a quarterback
if Arthur
here? I don't
Smith
think so.
Leaves, you know, I don't know. There's all this hot rumor he's going to the Jets. I don't know.
But let's talk about this then, Bob, because that is interesting what you brought up. The teams that have succeeded in replacing a great, great quarterback
had a vision.
Well, they had a vision, and there was some combination of luck and skill.
There's always luck,
right? That would be Green Bay, who did it twice. They drafted Aaron Rodgers. He sat and watched Favre. Right. They drafted Jordan Love. He sat and watched Rodgers.
They had a plan.
That's one. That's one of one. How many others can you think of?
I would tell you that Denver had a plan, and Sean Payton knew exactly what it was. I'm getting rid of Russell Wilson because I have a plan. Down the road, I read accounts where he was high on Bo Nix before it ever came to him drafting him. And he knew that he wasn't going to be, based on the numbers, unless someone surprised him, that he would be on the board when they took.
I mean, their plan was to draft a quarterback, yeah. And be bad, so they got... Well, what was Nick's? The 10th pick in the
12th,
draft?
12.
Okay, so they had top 12 pick.
But I'm saying you need to get into the top 10, top 15 minimum to...
Probably, although Tomlin poo-pooed that yesterday by saying, look at where Lamar and Hurts were drafted. But my point there is, it's highly unusual for a team to have a plan, have that much vision ahead of time, piss everybody off, including the incumbent, by taking a quarterback and then have him develop into a really good player who replaces your good player. Denver hasn't won a playoff game in longer than the Steelers.
Yeah, would you bet they're in better positioning?
Well, they are, but they drafted in the top 12, and they brought in an offensive-minded coach. That's different than the category I'm talking about, which is having a plan to replace a really good quarterback. They didn't. They sucked for years, and now they finally have taken the right guy. Good for them. So if that's a plan, then okay. Then the Steelers can fail for the next 10 years.
What I'm saying is, even in their position with Roethlisberger, you had to know it was going to come to an end. If the end was Mason Rudolph, they didn't treat it as if it was Mason Rudolph because they ignored him.
Well, what did you want them to do? They had Ben.
Well, how about if they had somebody better in that position who they waited just like what you saw in Green Bay twice? How about if they had a guy who they brought in and they knew that we really have a decent shot? What I'm saying to you is maneuver in the first round potentially earlier, trade up, and draft somebody.
I wonder how we all would have reacted to that.
I'm just saying.
But with Ben in his prime, I'm wondering how we all would have reacted if they maneuvered in the first round to draft a quarterback and have him sit on the bench. Ben ripped them for taking Mason Rudolph in the third round.
Aaron Rodgers wasn't comfortable with what they did.
No, that's one.
Can't worry about that.
I know.
You have a business to run.
My point is, where's the other team that had that kind of vision and was willing to do that? Who's the other team?
I'd have to look back in history. All I'm saying to you is that I thought that at the time, and I never thought it would get to this rotating, revolving door of quarterbacks. I thought somehow along the way, and maybe it was with the Kenny Pickett pick, I mean, that to me was a little bit of a strange pick, given where they drafted and that he was still available.
Right, they've been reaching. You're right. I mean, it would have been ideal for them to draft Lamar Jackson in 18?
But it's the same year as Mason. Same year Mason was drafted.
That would have been ideal. They got Terrell Edmonds. Yeah, it's easy to say they should have taken Lamar and had him ride the bench for 3 years and then put Ben in. Maybe you're right.
But
maybe
I'm saying somehow, some way, they needed some sort of strategy. And when you don't have it, and when your number one pick turns out not to be good, or at least not here, now you're in this cycle.
For sure.
Cycle ends.
I just think it's easy to look back and say they should have done what the Packers did when Ben was in his prime.
I didn't say it was
fading a little bit.
Easy. I'm saying they did it for that reason. And I think if you're in a position like Green Bay was, they picked Jordan Love in 30th pick.
Yeah.
Okay, but they said, even though they had needs at wide receiver and other things, they said
they had a first-round grade on Mason.
They said that.
That's what they said.
They said that.
That he was clearly drafted to be Ben's eventual replacement.
Can they miss then?
Why
then, if he was drafted to be the replacement, why didn't he immediately become that guy? Why did they have to go out and get everybody and then make it an open competition? And then they bring in and they draft another quarterback.
Because over the course of time, while he was here and when he did get his chances, he didn't do so well, Bob, if you recall. It became
he did
clear.
Well enough to win some games. He had a mangled year where he got his head cut off.
He got replaced by Duck Hodges.
I understand that. But my point to you is, all right, it doesn't matter what the point is. My point is that they should have had, in my view, a better kind of strategy moving forward. That's all. And when you don't have it, and when this happens, and you miss on draft picks, then you're in this
For sure.
Could be never-ending cycle of trying to find your next quarterback.
For sure. And so, they're in it.
That's why I presume I would rather have Justin Fields. He's 25, going to be 26. He's a very athletic guy. You heard him yesterday talk about mobility. Again, there's a guy right here, very mobile. Teach him how to work in the pocket. Teach him how to make better decisions.
I think guys have a pocket presence or they don't for the most
part. He had games in Chicago where he had four touchdown passes and looked brilliant throwing the ball down the
Mariota's
field.
Marcus Mariota's had great games too.
All right. Your option is what then?
My option might be Justin Fields and then go to an all-run game. They don't have an option right now. That's my point. Nothing in free agency, nothing in the draft, it would appear, unless you're going to draft a project. But let me still go back here, because I mean this as a point of interest and conversation, not necessarily as a point of contention. What would you have done? And if you want to jump in here, Limits, what would, if we could go back in time and give the Steelers a plan that they could have followed, I guess drafting Lamar would have been the best thing.
Well, they had to have known his talent. They talk about mobility. Nobody has more of it than he does. And he had a pretty good career at Louisville. He was one of those guys who was terrific at what he did, I thought.
Yeah, but not good enough for anybody to take a chance in the top 30.
That doesn't make it so. How many guys miss on draft picks? How many teams miss every year on draft picks? You have a scouting department. You have all this stuff at your hands. If you're going to draft a quarterback, which they eventually did in that same draft,
yeah,
why not him? The same people who look at Brock Purdy and say, how did he go all the way to the end? How did that happen? The Mr. Irrelevant, and somehow he was unearthed as this tremendous quarterback, or at least somebody who was a starter and took him to a...
They and 28 other teams probably could have and should have drafted Lamar.
I get it. Now, what I'm saying
is... I'm being serious about that. You know, teams that needed a quarterback and teams that were looking at a future quarterback should have drafted Lamar. Give me another plan that they could have done. A lot of people talk about...
I'd have to look back at all their picks.
If you don't make the Minka trade, then you probably fall apart
that year.
That's
a good point, don't you think?
And you might be able to pick Justin Herbert, although nobody's high on him at the moment. But still, he'd be a radical upgrade on what they have, I think. Anything else? Any other scenarios from back then?
I did not want them to trade for Minka at the time. I'm glad that they did. Now it's questionable, but I was in the same boat thinking, look, there's three really good quarterbacks coming into this class. We didn't know about Burrow at the time, but he was available. Herbert ended up going right in that midst, and same thing with Tua. They more than likely would have had a top 10 pick, maybe would have been able to trade up a little bit. And I mean, if we just want to look recently, how they did not think that trading up for a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix made sense after you reassess your quarterback position and moved off Kenny Pickett is just beyond me.
I mean, they thought Russell Wilson could do the job, and for a while he did.
Yeah, but you got to go younger. You have to go young, high upside players. And
I don't blame them at all for what they did this past offseason. I give them credit.
They decided, swung for the fences.
Yeah, they knew they had to do something. I don't think anyone at the beginning of this whole process would have thought both of those guys would be here, especially at the price that they were paying for their quarterback. And they tried to maximize that and take advantage at least for 1 year, and they couldn't. So now they're back in the same boat.
So I look across the league at when you have a really good quarterback or even a great legendary one, Buffalo. It took them 20 years almost to replace Jim Kelly, and they got Josh Allen. Miami's still looking to replace Marino. New England's still looking to replace Brady, although it looks like they might have a guy in Drake May,
maybe.
Right? Maybe. Baltimore had Flacco, who was good. They replaced him with Lamar. They made a great pick. Other teams who have had great... Indianapolis, they had Peyton Manning. They had to have him be
Andrew
hurt.
Andrew Luck.
They had to have him be hurt and go 1-15 to get Andrew Luck.
And then...
That's the way to do it.
And then, when Andrew Luck left, what has happened there?
Right. They did nothing.
Nothing. Recycle.
Right.
Draft pick fail. Recycle. Going to keep going.
They didn't have a plan for replacing Peyton. They got lucky. He got hurt. I hate to say that, but that's what happened. And they haven't replaced him since. Other great quarterbacks. Elway. Did Denver ever replace him? I don't think
Peyton Manning.
Yeah. They brought in an expensive free agent. And
it worked.
Peyton Manning replaced him. You're right. And it worked. They won a Super Bowl, and they were really good for a bunch of years. I mean, I was talking mostly through this, you know, advanced planning through the draft thing, but that was still a while after Elway left. Who else, Bob? Who else can we go through?
If you're
going
to go down, just go through now New Orleans after Drew Brees. They've tried. You know, they brought in Carr. I don't know what they're going to do moving forward.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that they have big answers down there.
Seahawks with Russell, you know.
Geno Smith is okay. Yeah, but he's, you know.
The 49ers, you know, they had Montana and Young. And as I recall, it took many years to replace them, right?
And they also, they drafted third overall Trey Lance. In the same draft, they end up with Brock Purdy.
But by your theory, you would give them credit for taking Trey Lance. Not necessarily for that pick,
I would,
but,
yes.
But for having the foresight
to
do that.
I would do it only because of what I'm talking about. You got to figure out things ahead of time. If not, especially in this important position, if you don't have one, it's very clear right now, if you don't have a good quarterback, chances are very, very unlikely you're going to end up going anywhere deep into the playoffs.
I guess
there are exceptions to that, but generally speaking.
Yeah. My last point on that would be, as you go through the league, I'm not sure I'm of a mind to rip the Steelers for not having a long-term succession plan years before Ben left, because nobody does. Almost nobody does. But if you want to criticize them for that, I guess it's fair game.
I'm only stating it because I think looking back, there were opportunities to shorten this gap. That's all I'm saying. And they could have done it.
I mean, they took even a guy with the 20th overall pick.
I know, but they passed on a guy like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And I remember conversations at the time. People had doubts. Well, people had doubts about Marino, which made him last until the end. Sometimes you have to just say, look, mobility check mark. Does he have the ability from the pocket? Not known yet, but we could work with him. And look what's happened.
Who?
Lamar. I mean, he's turned
Lamar,
into...
Yeah. I mean, he's a special guy.
I know, but he was available.
He was.
You know, the guys that were taken right after that Minka pick? The pick right before was CeeDee Lamb. Jerry Jeudy also right before. After Brandon Ayuk, Jordan Love, Patrick Queen. How about that?
I mean, okay, but essentially the Steelers drafted Minka in that year.
They could have taken Jordan Love. Was basically my point of that.
Yeah, could have taken
Jordan
Love.
And let me tell you something.
But Minka turned into a pretty damn good player.
And if he had just continued that trend of being that sort of guy, a disruptor, an interceptor, guys who make big play, you wouldn't have had a problem with that. It's only now because it seems like for the last couple of years that hasn't been what we've seen. So
combined with no quarterback. So here's what I would put out to everybody out there. Let's talk about Justin Fields. We're going to hear from Tomlin, what he said yesterday. I feel like, Bob, there's a strong suspicion amongst football people that Justin Fields is going to be the guy next year for a variety of reasons. Kabali had said there was some friction between Artie and Russell Wilson. Had you heard that?
I haven't heard that at all, no. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Mark's integrated over there, so he has pretty good sources.
It just feels like it's the end for Russ, and it feels like, and the reporting is from people like Albert Breer, that it's going to be Justin Fields next year. And the other reason for that is, who else you got? You know, I'm not thrilled with it, I can tell you that, but how do you feel out there about the prospect of Justin Fields leading the Steelers next season?
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another quick question to be answered in just a couple of words, maybe even one. Justin Fields' ceiling as a starter gets you to the playoffs, could win a championship, or just another guy? Bob?
Get you to the playoffs.
Can win one playoff game.
Gets you to the playoffs or not in a given year. I'm sorry I added that little addendum.
Well, that could be true with a lot of guys.
He's above being just another guy, but he's not the guy to take you to the promised land. We all agree on that then?
I saw a lot of people write off Sam Darnold in the right system. He went through four different teams.
I mean, if their take was he's not the guy to lead you to the promised land, then they were right on Sam Darnold. But I understand what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying there. Brian Billick was once on with Ron and I. Can I hear Ron's voice on any particular quote? I miss him today. Bob, that's my favorite, isn't it?
I like the laugh. The laugh is just, it's just one of those laughs.
Ron was here one day and Brian Billick said that Bill Walsh told him, in almost every case, you know about a quarterback after around 25 starts. Justin Fields has made 44 starts in the NFL. He's an electrifying runner. There's no doubt about that. My question's with him. Does he have a feel for the pocket, for the pass rush coming at him? Does he read defenses? Does he command an offense? Does he deliver the ball downfield with the right touch and accuracy? All of that remain huge questions with him. I tend to think, Bob, I think Justin Fields could produce you your usual fare, 9-8, 10-7, and get you blown out of a playoff game too. My general feel is you know it when you see it. Jaden Daniels has it. He's a guy. Jordan Love took a little step back this year. He's a guy. He has it. Bo Nix has it, I think. Justin Fields doesn't have it.
Does Michael Penix have it?
Don't know yet. Haven't seen him for enough starts.
Okay.
I mean, what's he started? Two games?
Just saying.
I don't know. I didn't. I only saw highlights of him. Justin Fields, I don't think, has it. I don't think you suddenly learn the things I just read off there in year five or in your 50th start. Geno Smith had a late career renaissance. There's exceptions to the rule, but that's the way I feel about him. Your
take
on him?
They have to come up with a quarterback this year. He is the most likely candidate, number one, because he's young and athletic. I think there's upside. I don't know how much. I think they can unearth some things, harvest some things that make him better than he is.
Who can?
They can. Somebody can. I hope Tom Arth can. He's the quarterback coach or whoever works with him. But my point is, for now, if the choice is a 37-year-old Russell Wilson versus him, I'm taking him. And again, no disrespect to Russell Wilson. It's just, you know, at some point that's going to come to a screeching halt. And when it does, you're going to be right back to where you are. So at least see him. See what happens if you put something around him. Judge him. And in the meantime, keep looking.
You might be forced to, but I think we moved on now to maybe the question best phrased. Can Justin Fields be a franchise quarterback? Would you be willing to bet on that? I would not.
I would not either, but I also don't know. And I know what Russell is, don't you?
Yeah.
We've seen what he is, and we know what he is.
I think after 44 starts, I may know what Fields is. And it's not all bad. I just don't think he's your guy moving into the future. He may have to be your guy this year.
Not a franchise quarterback, but he could be that bridge guy that puts you into the next generation.
Do you want a bridge guy, or would you rather have the bridge crash down?
The bridge crash down.
Yeah.
Well, completely maybe, crash
I
down.
Mean, he can actually do that, too. I mean, they can invest in him, and then it doesn't work, and then it automatically happens.
And that's why I'd be fine bringing him back, where if he succeeds, they go on a run, and you can cater your offense to him. Not saying he's Lamar Jackson, but what Baltimore did when they moved off of Flacco and went to Lamar was change their entire scheme and entire offense to his strength.
Yeah, you might have to go read option Greg Roman type thing, and if you're leaning into a 1965 offense, then really be it. Let's go to the phone lines, Limits. I asked the people their thoughts about the prospect of Justin Fields leading this team.
Let's begin with Tim in the North Hills.
What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good discussion. I just, My problem is with Justin Fields is, will Mike Tomlin allow them to run an offense that's tailored to him? I mean, it's so weird to me. Every year he talks about how he loves mobile quarterbacks. And then when Justin Fields was in, you know, you knew he was never going to throw the ball on third and short. You know, they tried to have him under center. If you go with Justin Fields, I would like to see an offense designed around him, and they need to go out and get receivers who can run down the field, you know, so he can hit them deep, and it can't just be George Pickens. So
Bob, that's well said. Bob, I think Justin Fields, if you surrounded Justin Fields with a great defense, a really good scheme and coaching, and really good weapons, I think he'd be fine. Unfortunately, they have none of those.
You know, my biggest thing about them now, I hope they don't overreact to defense again because of what happened down the stretch and specifically with Baltimore, in that they're going to make a priority, a defensive lineman or somebody. I understand the need for cornerbacks. Offense has got to be the number one focus in this draft, I think, and moving forward. You have to start putting all of the money, at least most of it, in this side of the ball as opposed to that side. If you continue to do it, and I know they have needs, and it's a tricky puzzle to put together, but I would rather them try to upgrade significantly on offense. Defense, you just have to figure out what you got, and if your offense is good enough, hopefully it'll make it a little easier on your defense.
Next.
Here is Jim in Ohio.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Jim?
I agree with Bob's premise of the Steelers need a plan to get a quarterback and then have another one waiting. But I don't think – I have no confidence that they know what to do when they get that quarterback, how to develop them, what system is best for that guy. And as far as Justin Fields goes, I was never a fan of his or Russell Wilson's, because both guys ignored that middle of the field, and neither guy is capable of being that rhythm passer when they need to be. They re-signed Freiermuth, then they brought in Wilson from – Michigan, and both those guys are across the middle, and neither of these quarterbacks will throw the ball across the middle when they need to, and I don't think they even know how to read those defenses and pick them apart when they need to, when they need those quick rhythm throws.
Bob?
Well, I would agree with that. I don't know if it's by choice or by design, but that was a part of the field that I thought was largely ignored, and every one of your weekly passing charts tells you that. Teams that are successful do it, and Baltimore can do this. They do it over the middle. They do it with their tight ends. They do it with Bateman, who's not afraid to go under the middle, over the middle. A lot of teams do that and look to create yards after catch, and they have guys on their team who can do that. George Pickens is a yard after catch guy, I think, but you got to put him in the position to do it. They did it a couple of times last week. Not enough for me, and not enough for the entire season for me.
Yeah. I think Russell has some trouble over the middle because when he's in the pocket, he's so small and he doesn't have that maneuverability anymore to buy extra time. He's got a little bit of that, but not. You need a lot of it when you're his height.
The other thing that made it problematic is time. They didn't have enough time to go back there. The offensive line got worse.
So he's got to buy it.
Yeah, so that's those two tackles were the two worst violators of sacks. They gave up the most sacks.
And, you know, Freiermuth got targeted, what, 23 times over the past three games of the year, you know? So I'm not sure that was a huge, huge issue.
Yeah, but it's where he's getting targeted. That's my point. You have
to... Well, isn't he always targeted in the same spaces?
It's always at the boundaries. It's normally at the boundaries. And the one he couldn't get a first down, remember that? That kind of throw. I'm talking about, do what Kelsey does.
Well,
somehow
he needed to get that first down, by the way.
I know he did.
He also needed to catch the ball over the middle at the end of the previous
game. I understand that, but my point is, that's where those guys should be effective, more so than they have been.
One more call before we get to George Michalowski.
Here's Chris in Uniontown.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Justin Fields for 1 year, but I'm drafting Jackson Dart. That's our quarterback for next.
The dart thrower.
The dart. Yeah, he's, what does he project? He's not a first-round pick, is he?
No, more like a second or third.
If we don't take him, we're going to make a big mistake.
Well, I mean, that's... They have to do their evaluation on all these guys.
This much. If we go back retroactively and complain about them not taking this guy or that guy, I wouldn't mind them taking a guy like Jackson Dart. There are some people who think that he is
what a great
his
name,
upside.
By the way.
Oh, for Jackson a quarterback? Dart. Are you kidding me?
Throws darts out there, Bob.
Yeah. Might as well be Bill touchdown pass.
Do you know there's a guy on the PGA Tour whose last name is Shank? I would immediately change that, by the way. I couldn't live playing golf with the name Shank.
It's like a kicker named
Blewett.
Blewett, yeah, Chris Blewett. Blewett.
Baldwin has a basketball player named Shank.
Well, that's okay. Golf is that's a bad word.
Here's NFL rookie watch. Listen to this. For whatever it's worth, and I'm not saying it's worth all that much, but they do have 170,000 followers. Jackson Dart is reportedly, quote, ranked ahead of Sanders and Ward on a few NFL scouts boards. Some believe Dart could make a Jaden Daniels type rise by the time the draft rolls around. Many scouts reportedly believe Dart could end up being the best quarterback to enter this year's draft. He had 4,300 yards passing, 500 rushing, 32 total TDs, and he's ready to shock scouts at the Senior Bowl. Listen,
if that happens, then they're not going to have a chance to draft him.
Well, you never know. I mean, look at what Lamar did in college, and he lasted till the 31st pick, 32nd pick, whatever it was.
But if you look at how these guys, some of them rapidly move up based on all this stuff.
Would you take a quarterback this year?
Yeah, if I thought the guy has the potential to be a franchise quarterback.
In the first round?
It would depend on where it is and who it is. And
what if it's him?
If he's on the board where I'm picking 21,
yeah.
I'll take him, sure.
Bleacher Report projects him in the third round.
There you go. He's a sleeper pick, Bob.
Yeah. For all we know now. We know a lot of things change. But, yeah, I am that bullish on them addressing the quarterback position as much as they can in this draft, even though most people tell you next year's draft is a deeper draft for this.
All right. Let's go to George Michalowski of Pittsburgh Sports Now. He covers the Pitt Panthers and – he does it, yes, for Pittsburgh Sports Now. George, how are you today? Say hello to Bob Pompiani.
Bob, Joe, how are we doing? How's it going? I'm doing well.
What's going on, George?
We've never been better. This isn't going well. The end of the Louisville game. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, the entire game. The offensive rebounding for Louisville just absolutely killed Pitt. Second chance points, daggers. I mean, these points that Louisville was scoring, 22 second chance points off of offensive rebounds, they hold more weight in my eyes. I mean, we've all played basketball games, even if it was when you're a kid, and those are just deflating possessions. That just kept getting to Pitt. They kept getting worn down. The crowd was getting antsy, starting to boo them a bit. So it wore them down, and then Louisville made big shots. Chucky Hepburn hit an unbelievable shot in the end there.
Yeah, they didn't watch him at the end of the game. They weren't watching the right guy at the end of the game. My real question is this, and it's a yes or no question, and then I'll throw it to Bob Pompiani. If you had to bet right now, yes or no, is Pitt going to make the NCAA tournament, George?
Yes.
I would agree with that. I think they still will. But to your point, George, they got to start doing things a little bit better in the rebounding department. I know Cam Korn has been pretty consistent, and I like that. But who else can help in that regard? Or is that a team kind of thing that – I remember Jamie Dixon used to always preach it with even his guards so that the guards would have six rebounds in a game, and he would applaud that. How do they address that?
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Capel put it simply. He said, we got to go grab the ball. I think it's a mental thing right now and the thing that's driving the coaching staff insane because they have the talent, they have the size. And they honestly, with Corin, they have the physicality to grab these rebounds. I think Zach Austin averaging under four rebounds a game is a problem for the amount of minutes he plays. Corin being under six is also an issue. Jalen Lowe and Ish Leggett are pretty solid rebounders, but man, Corin and Austin, you'd like to see those guys get into the seven for Corin and you know 5-6 for Austin category. But it's going to hurt them. Yes, I agree. But at the same time, like man, the reason I say yes to the NCAA tournament, like the ACC is down this year, and Pitt's non-conference schedule, they're reaping the benefits of that right now. They're you know one of the only teams in the bracketology predictions right now that's got as bad of a conference record as they do at 3-2, and they're still comfortably in these projections. I mean, Louisville's 6-1 in the ACC, and they're lower than Pitt in these bracketology predictions.
That's interesting.
Do you have a follow-up?
No, I just have a question about there's a guy at Florida who's 7'9". Did you see him yet play? His name is Olivier.
I believe he's I believe he's redshirting.
Yeah, he's redshirting, but he's 7'9". His name is like Olivier something. I don't know where he's from.
Lawrence Olivier.
But he was on the court the other day, and I wondered. I was watching, and I'm thinking that dude. That, I mean, you normally can tell height disparities, but I said that, and then I looked it up. He's 7'9".
Yeah, 300 pounds too.
He's built pretty well. Is he supposed to be like a, I don't know. I guess it's an NIL situation. Where did he come from? Do you know?
So he played at IMG Academy, like which everyone's heard of before, and he's from Canada. I believe he's from Quebec. Played at IMG, but he wasn't really a highly touted prospect. It's literally just this guy is an absolute monster. How can we develop him basketball-wise?
I would have thought that. If he's 7'9", you can't teach that. I'd bring that right in the middle and say, okay.
Limits, you should play him in one-on-one. Would you like to finish up with a question for George?
Yeah, I don't know if that would necessarily go well. George, what's the number one key that Pitt needs to do to turn this thing around?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before, but it's rebound the basketball. Tonight, I think they need to take care of the ball. Florida State's one of the best teams. They are the best team in the ACC in terms of steals and blocks, forcing turnovers. So I think they got to take care of the ball tonight. But, man, you look at this team, and like I said, they're still firmly in the mix for an NCAA tournament berth. Losing two games to two good ACC teams isn't going to kill them. They need to, I guess, snap out of it, not get down about these losses, because look, I don't think they're going to finish the season with four losses. I don't think Pitt's going to win out. It's okay to lose games because, again, their non-conference positioned them well. So they need to improve on rebounding. I think that's certainly something we want to see Pitt improve on. But in terms of the overall feeling around this team, I think it's pretty negative right now when nationally they're still in a pretty good place.
George, we appreciate the time, man. Hopefully we'll check back in and have better news next Wednesday. Thank you.
All right, George.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
Take care. And that's tonight, Pitt at Florida State. You can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. Tip off at 9, pregame before that. All right, let's go to Starkey's Card of the Week, Bob. Every Wednesday we hear about this, the Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. We go to Jeff Patton, General Patton, we like to call him. My guess for this week's card is, I don't have a guess for this week's card. I'm going to go Ovechkin as he chases Gretzky and gets closer and closer. Bob.
He's amazing. And what they're doing down there, General, is amazing. The Capitals have one of the best records. I never would have thought that would be the case this year.
Who's your
guess? That's a good pick. My guess is going to be Derrick Henry. Is this strictly a who's hot, who's not?
Yeah, and, okay, he picked Burrow last week.
I would pick Derrick Henry, and I also am going to do a future pick. One that's going to happen soon is that you're going to have Joel Blomqvist. He's going to return and light the Penguins on fire. He is going to be solid in goal. So I'm going to go future pick for you, General.
Twin Cities?
Bob took my pick, Derrick Henry. What a beast.
Who do we got, General?
Gentlemen, good morning. Appreciate you having me. Derrick Henry's just too raw for me to go with.
I figured.
Collectors are just like the Steelers, perpetually in search of a franchise quarterback. Joe, you already gave the pick away once today. We're going with Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
Collectors are all over Jaden Daniels. Football cards are different than baseball in the sense that there's only about 30 guys that people chase, quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, occasional outside pass rusher. Jaden Daniels is on fire. You know, black and gold is what we sell the most of, but lots of people come in asking for Jaden Daniels, so that's what we're going to go with this week. I have a Topps Now rookie card.
Beautiful.
And I can't wait for the day that Joel Blomqvist is our card.
Yeah, he will be soon.
Are the Topps cards still going off the shelves with the Skeens situation? Have we found the Skeens card yet?
The card has not come out.
No, Christmas is over. Now I think it's all a scheme, General. There's no card out there yet. This is an attempt to make as many sales as you can. I get it. It's business.
Well, I'd like to think not, because I'm an optimist in that regard. I'd like to think that it's buried in somebody's box that, believe it or not, we still talk to a lot of people who bought the boxes as an investment and didn't open them. But I will tell you this, the box you guys opened on the air that was a $299 box is now a $799 box.
Holy horse oil. Are they still going off the shelves left and right?
Yes, but it's to the point where they're even hard to get now. I mean, for the longest time, the first 60 days of this charade, I had it every day. Now I have it every 2 days, every 3 days. it's just getting to be so pricey. It would be like if playing the daily number became a $5 ticket instead of a $1 ticket.
Thank you, General.
Using that metaphor, 800 of the 1,000 numbers have already been taken. Topps did release a statement the other day that said 70% of the cards the other players have been obtained, which would make you think that 70% of the product has been opened.
So, well, I'm hanging on to my Jackson Merrill card. I have that, and I hope that he becomes a guy who is Hall of Fame worthy.
I'm still hanging on to a Brian Bixler card. Still hoping, General.
I will say this. The one thing that is a little bit of a misnomer is obviously Skeens cast shadows on everyone else. There's a lot of other good cards in that set. All three Jacksons, Curio, Holiday, Merrill, all legitimate guys if they weren't in the same rookie class as Paul Skeens.
Thank you, General. You're a wonderful man.
You're welcome. You guys have a good
week.
See
you, General.
There he goes.